Is there any good news here? Or did we just come together to mourn the loss of a beautiful baby and then hear of the judgment of God to be dismissed with a solemn amen? What are we to make of such a short life?
Of all the questions posed about God's goodness, perhaps the most difficult is, how can a good God allow babies and young children to suffer and die? Pastor Don Green will address that question on this edition of The Truth Pulpit. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and Don has titled today's message, When You've Lost Your Baby. And Don, this was not an easy message to deliver, was it?
Well, Bill, this certainly is a unique episode of The Truth Pulpit. My friend, what you're about to hear is a portion of a memorial service that I delivered for a young boy that died in our congregation, just a little bit over a year old. And with his parents' permission, we are sharing this topic and this message that I preach at his memorial service. He passed away in his sleep. It was sudden. There was very little medical explanation for his passing. And yet his parents have found comfort in Christ, and they wanted you to be able to share in their comfort as well, and it's certainly our privilege to share it with you. Stay with us today on this special episode of The Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's join our teacher now in The Truth Pulpit.
Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, where the scripture writer speaking to God says, You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. The Bible tells us the unseen story of the life of Grayson Lee Cook. It tells us that God knew Grayson before the foundation of the world, and that God, in eternity past, planned his life. Coming into the realm of time, that same God formed Grayson in Jessica's womb. God had established the length of Grayson's days. And God gave Grayson his every breath until this past Tuesday morning. Do you see it, my friends? Do you see it? Do you see that from beginning to end and at every point in between, Grayson's life was an act of God? God created Grayson Lee Cook in order to achieve God's own eternal purposes. And because that is true, Grayson Lee Cook is a boy with eternal significance. Even on this earth, Grayson fulfilled God's purposes and advanced the kingdom of God purposes. Think with me. As you heard from Matt and from Jessica, Grayson was greatly loved. They treasured every moment with him. They could have told you much more about the love that Bentley and Carson and Aubrey had for baby. Time would fail me if I tried to mention the rest of the family and friends touched by his life here on earth. There is this earthly dimension to the life of Grayson that was a profound success, though it was brief. But I'll go further than that. I'll go further than the earthly considerations and the human considerations of Grayson's life, speaking on biblical authority. In the spiritual realm, baby Grayson fulfilled God's purpose for his life. And even now, that life is advancing the purposes of the kingdom of God. This is undeniable. This cannot be questioned. Look around at each other to illustrate that, what has Grayson done? What did the life of Grayson Lee Cook, what is it accomplishing in our midst at this very moment? He stirred us to love one another. Grayson has stimulated us to greater prayer and greater compassion. These are spiritual attributes of the people of God that have been increased by his life. But even more, as Jessica so beautifully pointed us to what she said in her letter to her son. In the matchless wisdom and love of God, Grayson will reside in heaven with the saints of all the ages long after the end of time has come to pass. And we say that not on a simple wish that we want it to be that way. No, because our wishes don't always come true. And our wishes are not the authority for truth and the way things really are. No, we say that on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in Luke 18, verse 16, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus said, "Do not hinder the children, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And so we see from Scripture that God created Grayson, used him for his purposes, and then took him to his eternal home. Grayson's life was an unqualified success. We do not measure the quality of his days by the quantity of his days. We measure them by the purpose of God who appointed them and fulfilled them to the uttermost. Those 13 months and 6 days were a gift to them from their perspective because they thought they were losing a child in miscarriage, and God gave them Grayson. Do you see the grace that is abounding all over this? Do you see the wonder and the mercy and the compassion of God all around this? Even while we look at the brevity of days with tears? No, this was a gift from God, and it is a gift that will reverberate throughout all of the halls of eternity. Eternity will not look and say a mistake was made. Eternity will look at the life of Grayson and celebrate the wisdom and the grace and the goodness of God. I don't diminish the loss in saying that. My tears have been mingled with the family's over these past few days as well. But you know, my friends, if we were only to talk about Grayson, we would miss another purpose in our time together, because all of us are still living. Scripture speaks directly to times like this. King Solomon said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. This world is broken, and I would defy anyone to come from outside and contest that point. This world is broken. But friends, I would have you understand from the bottom of your heart and based on the authority of God's word that while this world is broken, God is not to blame for that. Scripture teaches us that God created the world, put man into it, blessed him, and said that it was very good. Let me remind you that it was only when man sinned and rebelled against God that death entered into the world. And we have inherited that guilt and that disposition toward sin and disobedience from our first parents, Adam and Eve. But it's a little more difficult than that. You see, this world is broken, yes. But by nature, and by choice, you and I have shared in the rebellion that made it that way. You and I have shared in the sin. We've told our lies. We've betrayed trust. We could recite a catalog of things that show the reality of the evidence of the fact that we have not loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, or our neighbor as ourselves. We've been cold and distant from God, and many of us, seeing His Word, push it aside, have no time for it, no desire for it. And those are all symptoms of something else. Symptom of a heart that is at rebellion against the God who made us and who is good to us. Scripture tells us in no uncertain terms, and contrary to the pride of our hearts, that you and I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture tells us clearly and unambiguously that there is no one righteous, not even one. And now in that condition of sinfulness, it is appointed for man to die. And after that, Hebrews 9:27 says, comes judgment. My friend, I don't know many of you, but Scripture speaks directly to your heart and speaks the truth to you about your existence. You are not good enough to go to heaven when you die. And you cannot be good enough to go to heaven when you die. Because heaven is the place where the great, glorious, holy, infinitely perfect God dwells. And He cannot tolerate sin and rebellion in His presence. And here you and I are, living in a broken world and being part of the problem. We need help. Oh, friends, do we ever need help? If that is our condition, and it is. That's why this is so valuable to all of us. Because it shows us the urgency of dealing with our guilt before God. Think with me. Step back. Take a breath here. Grayson Lee Cook was 13 months old when he passed away. Quietly slipped into the presence of Christ while he was sleeping. He was younger than 99% of the people in this room. He was much younger than almost all of you. My friend. If a healthy baby could die and enter into the presence of God so suddenly, where does that leave you and me? Do you see the urgency of the matters of which we speak here? Death could come upon you at any time. If it could come upon Grayson in his sleep, within the sound of the loving care of his mother, then we're all vulnerable at any time. And you know, my friend, and I mean it when I say my friend, I care for your soul. You know, my friend, I have a responsibility as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell you the truth, even in this hard hour that brings us together. My friend, if you die in your sins, unforgiven by God, you will face an eternity of judgment, death, and hell as the punishment that your violation of the law and character of an eternal holy God deserves. We're lost. And the brokenness of this world is a reflection of a deeper spiritual crisis in our own souls. We are dealing with symptoms. Scripture tells us what the real reality is. Death is a consequence of sin. And we are all sinners. And death is appointed to come to us as well. And then judgment. And so we see the urgency. And so I would step back and remind you of what we were saying earlier, the purposes of God being advanced through the life of Grayson Lee Cook. Now God advances His purposes in our hearts here as we see what His Word says about the condition of our souls. Were it not for Grayson Cook, we would not be here together to talk about the most important thing in your life, the condition of your soul, and the fact that we are sinners separated from a holy God. Now, is there any good news here? In light of that, is there any good news here? Or did we just come together to mourn the loss of a beautiful baby and then hear of the judgment of God to be dismissed with a solemn amen? No. No, if that were the case, I wouldn't step up before you. I would close my Bible myself and go home and weep. But there is good news. There is the best news of them all. The good news is that God, the real God, the true God, the God of the Bible, the God of the 66 books of the Bible, that God is good and gracious. That God is the one who came to earth from heaven in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Scripture says that He came from heaven in order to save sinners just like you and me. That there is a Redeemer, that there is a Helper, that there is a Deliverer outside us and beyond us who has had mercy on us in our miserable, sinful condition in order to bring grace and salvation where judgment instead was deserved. The Bible tells us that Christ Jesus bore sin in His body on the cross when He was crucified. He died, He was buried, and God raised Him on the third day. Why did He do that? What's the point of that? Well, it's related to everything of which we speak here, beloved. In the person of Christ, we find the one and only sacrifice that God accepts for your sin. This is the only sacrifice. This is the only thing that makes amends with God is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners just like you. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can reconcile you to God. He paid the price for sin in full. You remember what it says in the Gospels, what Christ said on the cross, right? It is finished. Paid in full is the idea. And now, what a blessed privilege is mine to say these wonderful words to you and to extend Christ to you. Now that Jesus Christ has paid the price for sin, He offers Himself to you freely and without condition. He comes and offers Himself clothed in the gospel, clothed in His saving work, and presents Himself to you and offers Himself to you. I will save you from your sins if you come to Me in humble, repentant faith. That's the best news of them all. My friend, Jesus Christ will forgive you of all of your sins. He will save you completely. My friend, you don't have to do a series of works or go through a series of rituals. You cannot make yourself better. You don't have to work yourself up and get yourself to a minimal level of righteousness and then He'll accept you. No, the testimony of God's Word is that God justifies. He declares righteous the ungodly. And He gives us that grace of forgiveness. And He gives us that grace of righteousness, declared righteousness, not on the basis of anything that you do, but when you receive Christ by faith. When you believe the gospel, when you receive Christ and you rest in Him and say, I will not try to earn my salvation. I will not boast of any righteousness of my own. I will receive Christ and trust Him outside of myself alone for my salvation. That faith is what makes Christ your own. Jesus does not give himself to anyone as a reward for work they do. He comes in grace and we receive him as a gift. And so I'll say it again, my friends. Jesus Christ will forgive you of all of your sins and save you completely. He said, repent and believe in the gospel. A command to repent. And my friends, let me emphasize something really important to you. Part of our rebellion against God is expressed in this way. It's wrapped up in a certain response that we have whenever we hear a command from God. Our nature, our human nature, is to respond and say, you're not my boss. I won't have you tell me what to do. And ever since the Garden of Eden, that's been the attitude of God toward his commands and toward his word. But my friend, when Christ comes and commands you to believe in him, understand he is making a command in love to you, telling you this is the way of salvation. This is the deliverance from this broken world. This is where you find forgiveness. He commands you in order to bless you. And the path of blessing for all of eternity is laid out before you in Christ. To receive him, to obey his command, to believe, is a promise of blessing that can come only from him. That shows you the great character of the true God. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Christ will save you. No one has gone to Christ and asked him to save them that he's refused and said no to. And Christ will give you a certain hope and a changed relationship with God that triumphs over sin, death, and hell. So, my friends, heed him. Heed his call and come to Christ. I'll say it this way. On behalf of the body of believers here at Truth Community Church, come to heaven with us. We would have you come with us to heaven through faith in Christ. We want you there. And Christ invites you to come. But friends, you must come to him through faith alone, in Christ alone. The most familiar verse in all of the Bible is probably John 3:16. Listen to it with fresh ears. For God so loved the world. Coming out of the heart of God, at God's initiative, God's idea, God's implementation, out of a love and a concern for the well-being of the world, what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son. And how does that help us? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Could state it this way, shall not enter into God's judgment of condemnation, but instead receive forgiveness that opens the doors of heaven wide, that gives us hope in this broken world and delivers us into a realm of blessedness, a locality of blessedness where believers are joined with Christ forever and ever. Amen. To ever share in his blessing, to share in his glory, delivered safe from sin, judgment, and in a way that we particularly cherish, to deliver us from death itself. And so, my friends, let this time of remembering Grayson Lee Cook be the occasion for your own turning to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The pain and death we see in this world serve as a reminder of the curse brought on by sin. But the Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ overcomes the world and that someday soon, pain and death will no longer exist. Pastor Don Green will have more powerful teaching from the Word of God next time here on the Truth Pulpit, so be sure to join us then. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts and free CDs of Don's teaching. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.